Bible and turn with me to the gospel or to the book of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 12. And as you're turning to the book of Romans, we're in a series on Sunday morning on spiritual gifts. Now, while you're taking and turning to, in your copy of the scripture, to the book of Romans, let me ask you this simple question. Can you honestly say from the bottom of your heart that you are absolutely enjoying this one God-given life that the Father has given you? You'd be amazed at how many people saved by the grace of God are just sort of treading water, going through the motions. They're not really enjoying this God-given life that the Lord has given them. And part of that is because they have never identified, located, locked in on what gift that the Father has given to them. But the Bible makes it very clear that every one of us saved by the grace of God have been gifted. In other words, when the Lord Jesus saved you and placed inside of you his eternal life, he gifted you for the purpose of advancing his kingdom. And sadly, one of the reasons why so many people miss out on the happy life that God desires for them is they funnel through this life and they sort of fumble along and they never figure out what their purpose is in life. If you ask them, are you saved? They'll say, well, yes, I'm saved, going to heaven when I die. Are you really enjoying life? Well, I'm just sort of trying to muddle through. Jesus made it abundantly clear that he came that you and I could have life and have life more abundantly. Those are his words, not mine. And yet the sad reality of it is there are so many that are just missing out on the best that God has in store. And part of it is because they have never locked in on their spiritual gift. And here's the sobering reality of life and your existence here on this earth. You were not born by accident. You were not born by chance. You are on this earth by the divine agenda of Holy God. And he has given you X number of years in this life to impact the world in which you live for his glory. Now, every one of us don't have the same gift. Every one of us don't have the same ability. But I can tell you this. When you locate, lock in, and find your spiritual gift, and as you listen to these messages, you may find, well, Pastor, that was not my gift, but that's my gift right there. You will be amazed at what happens into and through your life. People will be drawn to you based on the gift that you've been given. So I want to encourage you to listen very carefully in this series of messages and in the writings of Paul the Apostle to the church at Rome. And beginning in verse 4 of chapter 12, listen to what Paul is saying to the saints of God. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, in verses 4 through 8, Paul is talking to the church, and he said, I want to declare unto you, tell unto you, each and every one of you have been given a gift. And this is part of the gifts that Paul talks about when he is talking to the saints of God. Now, let me say this at the very outset. When you locate and allow the Holy Spirit to show you your ministry gift, you will be amazed at how much you do with what ease and comfort that it comes. For example, if I asked some of you to come up here and to preach a message, you would be scared half to death because that's not the gift that God has given to you. But if I was to serve in some capacity where God has gifted you, I would be frustrated. And here's the reality. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that are serving, and you look at them, listen to them, talk to them, and they're half frustrated because they're not serving where God has gifted them. And they even want to quit. I never will forget one time a young lady was coming up from the nursery in the other facility we was in, and here's what she said at the end of the church service. Don't you ever call on me to serve in the nursery again. And I thought, well, okay, I won't. And I didn't say that to her, but I thought, well. And the more that I learned and read and studied about spiritual gifts, it dawned on me that she was serving in a place that she absolutely felt totally uncomfortable. Now, you can say this as well. You know, if you have to serve some places where you're uncomfortable, there's always some place where you have to serve for maybe for a period of time. But here's the point. She was in a position she felt absolutely no comfort in, and there was no joy in it. There was no happiness in it, and she was absolutely miserable. And if we hadn't got her out of that into another area that was where she was gifted and had the ability, she might have even left church. So you need to understand, it is a big deal that you lock in on your spiritual gift. First of all, there will never really be any true joy in your life if you don't. You can be saved for years and never have any real true joy because you're not serving where the Lord has gifted you. And so you're coming to church, but you're not serving. And by the way, every one of us are saved to serve. There's no one that is saved just to sit. Now, if I ask you what you do, well, I come to church and I sit on a pew and I go home and I come next week. Well, you're the one that's missing out. But first and foremost, there will never really be any true joy in your life as long as you're doing it that way. And not only that, second of all, when your life is lived, there will be no option that you give account. Sometimes we live as though we're not going to give account in the judgment. We live as though, well, you know, that's a good thought about the judgment, but it's not going to affect me. Friend, it is going to affect you. What you do with your life, your energy, your time, your gift, your giftedness makes a big deal. And the Bible says in the last book of the Bible that the Lord Jesus is going to come and he's going to reward us based on what we've done with our giftedness, what we've done with our life and our time and our talents. And so not only that, but third, there will only be true purpose in our life when we serve. Now listen. It ought to be that you have locked in on your spiritual gift. But if you do not know, I want you to listen very carefully in these series of messages because these will help you lock in on your spiritual gift. And so this morning we're going to look at the gift of prophecy because there's all sorts of ideas and opinions about prophecy. And some people say, well, you know, if you got this gift and here's how it is. But I want you to listen carefully because we're going to be walking through these gifts. And so we're going to be dealing this morning with the gift of prophecy. So, you know, a person who has the gift of prophecy, a person who has that gift, what are they like? What is the character traits of a person who has the gift of prophecy? Well, I want you to follow along in your outline because it is very significant you know this. And this may help you understand some individuals as well. First and foremost, a person who has the gift of a prophet is compelled to declare right and wrong. And from God's vantage point of reference. Now, sometimes when you hear somebody preach and teach, and you know, the thing on the heart of a prophet is this. He is going to proclaim the truth of God, irregardless of how popular or unpopular he is. If you look all the way back through the prophets in the Old Testament, and you find them, and John was the last of the Old Testament prophets in the book in the New Testament. But when you look at them, one of the things about their life was this. They declared right and wrong whether people wanted to listen to them or not. And you see, here's the reality about a prophet. You know, without delving into details, and Peter is a good example in the New Testament, you remember the story in the book of Acts that Peter, on one occasion, there's a couple that comes to him, Ananias and Sapphira. And using Peter as an example, of a prophet in Scripture, I want you to just watch a little bit in that particular situation. You remember the story. You can locate it in Acts chapter 5. I won't take time to read it. But you remember Ananias and Sapphira had promised a piece of property, the money, to the Lord's church, but really they kept some back and they lied to the Lord God. And so here's Peter talking to Ananias, and here's what he does. Without delving into details, Peter makes it very clear to Ananias by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says, why have you lied to the Spirit of God? Now, I want you to watch what happens. Peter doesn't open it up. How you doing, Ananias? Have you had a good day? And what's going on in your life? He doesn't do that. The first recorded evidence we've got of Peter and Ananias is Peter is confronting Ananias with his disobedience. Is Peter trying to be brazen? No. Is Peter trying to be callous? No. But here's what God had given to Peter. God had given to Peter that gift, that ability to declare, and so here's what he said to Ananias. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And you see, a person who has the gift of prophecy, they can't keep their mouth shut. They are going to always proclaim the truth from God's vantage point. They may not be popular, and they won't be popular. I don't think you'll ever find a popular prophet in the Bible who, you know, everybody just loved to have them over for the evening meal. But they were misunderstood, and here's why. Their life's purpose is to proclaim the truth of God. And part of that is mixed in with the call of a pastor, call of a preacher. You know, sometimes you'll hear a preacher preach, and maybe you hear your pastor preach, and you say, well, that's pretty curt. That's pretty hard. You know what a prophet is all about? He is all about getting the truth in your heart, in your mind, because here's the reality. When you get the truth of God in your mind and obey the truth, he knows what comes next are blessings. Listen, the God who created you wants to bless you. Amen? But God who will bless you apart from obedience. Amen? No, he won't. He will never bless your life apart from your personal obedience. And that's why it is a big deal in the prophet's life to declare right and wrong. That's why it is a big deal on in his heart and in his spirit. And so the real issue on Peter's life was obedience. And here's what Peter knew. Ananias, you've lied to the Lord, and you're going to affect everybody in your home. And that's why sometimes a prophet is misunderstood. Well, he's just being awfully plain. Here's what a prophet knows. You disobey God, you're headed for a collision course toward disaster and death. If you disobey the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God, and you see, here's the reality. Peter knew that Ananias, you have lied to God. You've done it willfully, intentionally, deliberately, and you are absolutely going to devastate your life. And God told Peter what to tell him. People are going to come and carry you away, Ananias, and he dropped dead. Do you realize that the prophet of God realizes this? There is no middle ground when it comes to obedience to God. You see, in our world and our Christian culture, we've sort of got this idea. Well, you know, I don't really like that verse, so I don't really want to obey it. I don't really care for this verse, so I don't. Listen, you look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. God says through Moses to the people of Israel, if you obey and do all these laws that I tell you to do, fully and completely, then I will set you on high. I'll bless you. But God also says, if you don't, then all these curses will come upon you. And you see, here's what a prophet knows. The potential disobedience of the people of God in a society can bring that country down. You don't believe it? Talk to Jeremiah about the people of Judah and their embondaged spirit that took them away to Babylon. You see, it is a big deal because the prophet of God has a declaration and a command by Holy God to declare the truth. Now you say, well, I don't have that gift, and that's probably pastors and preachers and others who have part of that gift in us, and you're probably right. But the reality of it is, there is that compelling. You see, some people, the issue of right and wrong is not really that significant to them. And if you're here this morning and right and wrong is not really that important to you, you're in serious trouble in your life. And a prophet of God knows that. A prophet of God is sent to declare the truth because he knows there is no blessing from God apart from obeying the truth of God. Second of all, a prophet declares and speaks against hypocrisy. Now, whenever you look at the life of Peter, a prophet has that ability to maybe to be in a room for a short period of time, and he sort of has an idea of what's going on. Nobody's told him anything. Ananias sure didn't walk up to Peter and say, Peter, I want to tell you, I lied to the Lord God. The Holy Spirit related to Peter. And Peter said, why have you lied? And you see, whenever you look in the life of Peter, and here's what you see. He can't stand hypocrisy. Peter was lied to by Ananias. And then here comes Sapphira. And Sapphira, why have you and your husband lied? The men who carried your husband are ready at the door to carry you out. Do you think God said to her, pretty please, repent, obey me? Do you realize your obedience can mean your life or your death? It can mean your physical life or your physical death. It can mean your spiritual life and your spiritual death. So do you think that a servant of God is just going to stand and say something lightly and fuzzy to give you a good feeling? Absolutely not. He is going to teach. He is going to preach. He is going to proclaim the truth. Why? Because here's what he knows. You obey the truth and your life is set up for blessing. That's what God says. I didn't say that. You obey God, you listen to God, and you see when there's hypocrisy, that servant of God, he may appear to be curt and may even appear to be hateful. But that's not what's in his heart. He just can't stand that hypocrisy. And that was the case with Peter, with Ananias and Sapphira. Not only is a prophet cannot stand hypocrisy, but number three, a prophet has a genuine openness about personal faults and failures. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I don't have the gift of being a prophet. But there ought to be something about this in every one of us. There ought to be that willingness in our own heart and our life to admit our faults and our failures. And in the life of Peter, whenever you look at Peter's life, on one occasion, you recall that Peter was having a confrontation and Paul said, I opposed Peter because he was in the wrong. In other words, for a period of time, when as long as Gentiles didn't show up, Peter was fellowshipping, or as long as Jews didn't show up, he was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But when the Jews would show up, he would go away from the Gentiles and fellowship with the Jews. In other words, he was sort of playing both sides. And here's what Paul did. Paul confronted him. And here's what Peter realized. I'm in the wrong. And as Peter realized he was in the wrong, here's what a prophet, he doesn't sidestep his mistakes. A prophet will not bow down when it comes to his own mistakes. He'll repent. He'll confess them. He won't bow down to mediocrity. And you see, in the life of Peter, that was the case. You know, Paul confronted Peter, and Paul said to Peter, said, Peter, you was in the wrong. Peter didn't argue with him. And he listened to Paul. Now, here's the point about it. You may not have the gift of being a prophet, but there ought to be in every one of us, when we're in the wrong and somebody comes to us spiritual that loves us, we ought to be willing to listen to them. And you see, the truth about it is there's so many people who want to have itching ears. I want somebody to tell me what sounds good. Can I tell you this? There's millions and millions and millions and billions of people in hell today who listen to somebody that said something they liked. Because the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And Jesus himself said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Why? Because they won't listen to truth. They won't believe the truth. They won't accept the truth. But listen, if your child or your children or you've got a family member that's getting ready to hurt themselves, you have an obligation before God, even though you may not be a prophet, to speak truth to them. You are called and accountable. Every one of us someday will stand before the presence of the Lord God and we'll give account. We'll give account of what we did, dads, as parenting. Sadly, there are so many dads leaving the home and they're wondering what in the world is going wrong with their home. The problem is that home is going awry because they're in a mess. They won't be accountable. They won't stand up. They won't stand out. They won't stand firm. And the Bible makes it clear, we must all give account. And you see, a prophet of God, he won't be in the majority. He won't be thought a lot of by a lot of people, but here's what he knows. When I die, my Lord and Savior is going to judge me. And that's really all that matters. You know, it ought to be in every one of our lives. We ought to back up and we ought to be reminded of this. You know what? I've got a lot of friends and that's good. I've got a lot of neighbors and that's good. I've got a lot of people that love me and that's good. But none of them judge me in the judgment. And sometimes we'll be so mealy-mouthed about our belief and somebody calls us to be accountable and we get real upset and offended. You know what a prophet does? He announces judgment's coming. He announces judgment's coming. You know, my mother was not a prophet, but there would be times that she would say these words, your dad will be home in just a little while. Your dad will be here shortly, son. You better get to it. And then sometimes she would utter the most horrendous words. Your dad's coming up the driveway. And I'd love to have run out the back door, but I knew that I'd been caught either way. He's coming. It may be is in the driveway. Well, number four, a prophet, a person who has that gift of prophecy, has a genuine concern for God's agenda. When you look at the life of Peter, you know, no prophet of God wants applause or praise. Why? Because they're God's servant. You know, they'll leave that to the Lord. I never will forget hearing Charles Stanley say this one time. He was walking out onto a platform, and he was getting ready to preach to thousands. And he said, they started to applaud me. But his next words is what so amazed me. He said, and I have to confess, I started liking it. And he said, I had to get back alone with God and settle that issue. Listen to me very carefully. You may not be a prophet, but you and I are called to proclaim the truth, and we're to declare the truth in our family. We're called to accountable. And there ought to be in every one of our lives a concern for the agenda of God. Listen, if you're a Christian, you are a miniature Christ. And there ought to be a concern for the agenda of God. It is amazing how many believers aren't really concerned about the agenda of God. If you were in the Bible study this morning in the auditorium class, God was getting ready to pronounce judgment upon Judah because they were careless in their walk with God. You know, a prophet is serious because here's what he knows. It's all going to come down that we're going to stand before the Lord. And he's concerned about the agenda of God, the plan of God, the will of God, the word of God. Because let me ask you a question. What other book has ever changed a person's life? I've read the encyclopedia, different subjects. No, I've not read it through. Maybe you have. I've never known of an encyclopedia that changes a person's life. I've never known a science book that changes a person's life. Well, it may temporarily, it may give you ulcers or a math book. But you know why the prophet of God? Because here's what he knows. There is a God in heaven that loves us. There is a God in heaven that is trying to get our attention, and he does get our attention. And a prophet of God says, I want to tell you the way that will bless your life. Do you remember as Moses was leading the children of Israel all the way through and going through the Red Sea and all across the terrain and the desert? Finally, they came to a certain land that the Bible calls the Promised Land. And the Bible says that it was a land of thorns and bushes and briars, and doesn't it? No. It was a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Now listen carefully. Do you realize that the Father has for you a life and a land flowing with milk and honey? You say, well, I don't understand. Why am I not enjoying it? Look at your life and look at your obedience. Look at your personal walk with God. Look at your serious obedience to Him. What are you doing? Are you concerned about the agenda of God in your home? Are you concerned about the agenda of God with your children? What a wonderful example it is for a young man to sing the songs of God. Because here's the reality. You know that behind that young man is a mom and dad that's concerned about the things of God. And a lot of times people are saying, I don't know what's wrong with my kid. Listen, be a parent. Be an adult. And you know the prophets of God, here's what they were concerned about the agenda of God. Peter didn't want to see Ananias dead. Peter didn't want to see Sapphira dead necessarily, but here's the reality. God controls life and death, not Peter. God controls your life, and you determine what you do with the agenda of God. You determine if you're going to walk with God or you're going to walk your way. Guess what? You get the results of either one you choose. You get the blessing of obedience, or you get the benefit of disobedience. You know what God says if you decide you don't want to? And that's why a prophet is concerned about the agenda, because he don't want what he knows is in store for your life if you're not concerned about the agenda of God. Can I tell you what will happen to your life if you're not concerned about the agenda of God? You're going to lose money. You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose possessions. You're going to lose those things that you thought were so precious to you. You say, well, how do you know that? Because it's in the Word of God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to what the servant of God Moses says to the children of Israel in verse 15. In verse 15, that's why the servant of God is so serious. And Moses, the prophet of God in a sense, declares to them, here's what's going to happen to your life if you're not interested in the agenda of God. but it shall come to pass. In other words, it'll be a living reality. If you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these, say it with me, curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Curse shall be, shalt thou be in the city. Curse shalt thou be in the field. Curse shalt thou be the basket and thy store. By the way, that means income. Verse 18, curse shall be the fruit of thy body. That means your children. Your children will no longer be a blessing to you. They'll be a curse to you. Verse 19, curse shalt thou be when thou comest in and goest out. Curse shall be shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexing, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, until thou be, say the next word, destroyed. Why is the prophet so serious about the agenda of God? Because he loves the people of God. He loves God's creation. And you know what? He knows that there is one way that God has set up this world to work. That's why you find a man obeying God, you find a woman obeying God, you find a husband and wife obeying God, and you're going to find the blessings of God in that home because the sovereign of the universe has decreed it. He has said, that's going to happen. I promise you, I am the sovereign Lord. And so that's why the prophet of God, he is so concerned about the agenda of God. Listen, Paul or Peter, he didn't want to, like I said, you know, he didn't want to necessarily see Ananias and Sapphira dead. But here's what was the reality in their life. They were self-centered. Now I want you to listen to me real carefully. You don't have to be concerned about the agenda of God, but you do have to reap the consequences. Some of you I will see down the road 5, 10, 15 years from now, and your children will have given you hell on earth. You may have a child that's dead. You may have a child that's died of a drug overdose. You may have something else that's happened. You've lost your husband or you've lost your wife. The Lord God is serious about our lives. Moses, he's getting ready to walk off the scenes when he declares Deuteronomy 28. He says, you need to remember, this is another generation of Israel. The Lord God will send you curses. Now, pause a moment, back up, and let's look at our land. Where are we going? What are we becoming? What's getting ready to happen to us? You see, God has always been in control, and he'll always be in control. And you see, not only that, but number five, a prophet is painfully direct. It's been my privilege from time to time to hear men that I can honestly say before God, I believe they're prophets in our land. And there is one that God has raised up who has been a blessing to untold millions and millions. That's Dr. Henry Blackaby. And the words that he speaks are so serious and insightful and powerful and pointed. One of the things that I can recall him saying, and he said it as calm as he could, but he said when God's people get disoriented with him, he can be ruthless. And you know, I thought how painfully direct that was. But you know, here's the reality. A prophet of God, parents sometimes like you have to tell your children, you have to be painfully direct. You have to tell them because there's no other way but being painfully direct. And you see, some of you are here this morning and the only way you're going to listen to the Lord God is when you lose everything. Some of you are trifling with your life and your obedience and you think, well, it's, you know, my life's my business. And someday you're going to wake up and you're going to realize you don't have a single thing around you. And you have lost the things that God has put into your possession. And you see, here's the reality. God's servant, God's prophet is painfully direct for the betterment of those that are listening. Sometimes I've found in preaching, the Lord has just laid something on my heart and mind. I have to declare it and don't want to declare it, but I have to. And here's why. If you're a believer, the Lord God is your Father. Amen? That's pretty weak. Amen. If you're a child of God, the Lord God is your Father. Amen? Was your earthly father ever painfully direct with you? Oh, yes. My dad didn't give me suggestions. I noticed growing up. My dad gave me directives. Son, you're going to move that brick pile. You know, he never said, son, let's go in here and elaborate and talk about this thing and see what you'd like to do, and you tell me your opinion. We never did do that. If you don't obey God, you suffer the consequences because he's the Lord God. Ananias, I don't know what happened in those last seconds, but he heard the words of Peter and he dropped over dead. Sapphira heard the words of Peter, and she dropped over dead. Don't you know that was a wake-up call to the early church? But here's the thing about it. Your life is not a joking matter. Your walk is not a joking matter. Some people just flit through life like, it's my life, my business, I can do with it whatever I want to, and I mean, I can just... How absurd. Because the Bible says, we have been bought with a price. Tell me something. Go try to redeem your soul from hell. Try to save yourself from the torments of hell. You can't. And you see, that's what God's prophet declares. Not only is he painfully direct, but sixth and last, a prophet always desires to give evidence of his commitment to Christ. You look throughout Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and you'll find the prophets of God. They would declare the message of God to the people of God, whether it was easy or not. You look in the New Testament, you can find people like Peter and Paul. They declared the message of God. Now, here's the reality. A prophet of God knows deep in his soul that there really is that day you and I stand before the Lord. It's as though he can see it. It's as though he can visualize it. There is that day when you stand in the presence of Jesus one-on-one. Nobody's there but you. Nobody's there but you and the Lord Jesus. And he calls you into inventory for the totality of your life. In the life of Peter, Peter said, Lord, if I have to die with you, I'll go with you. Now, his faith failed him, his courage failed him, but his motive was good. But here's the point. He wanted to be faithful to the finish. Now, you may not have the gift of prophecy, but here's the reality. God has given some that gift of prophecy. And part of it is within the role of the pastor. And you see, sometimes you'll hear your pastor being painfully direct. But here's what your pastor knows, and any student of the Word of God, God never minces his words. Amen? He never says, obey me if you want to. He never says, I'll bless you just for existing. I've watched so many that have fallen. I just read this past week of one of God's servants pastoring in a large church in a northern city who fell. Friend, here's the reality of your life. You've got one. You've got one life. You've got one life to give and to live. But the issue is, what will you do with it? Here's what God said to Moses. Moses, you tell the people, if they'll obey me, I'll bring on them the best. I'll give them the best. They'll enjoy the best. But something strange happened. The people of God turned away. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. God hasn't changed. He says to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, obey me. Do what I tell you to do. follow me, and I'll bless you. But if you don't, I will curse you. I'll curse you by your family. I'll curse everything you put your hand to. I'll destroy you. Where is America? On the pendulum? Would you say we're on our way up, on our way down, or on our way out? God dealt with Israel. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to Moses. They would find that they would lose their land. This has been on my heart for the last 2 days. Lord, where are we going? Are we on our way down? Are we on our way out? But here's the thing about it. If you're saved by the grace of God, He calls you to a life of complete obedience. Are you going to fail? Yes, you're going to fail from time to time. Are you going to mess up? You're human. That's no cop-out. But here's the reality. If you're saved, you can obey. You may not have the gift of prophecy, but you have been called by the Lord God to make a difference in your world wherever He's put you. You're here this morning and you're not saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't overlook the one thing you need to do in your life, and that is to be saved. Father, we thank You and we worship You and we praise You for Your word. And Father, we just pray this morning that, Lord, as You remind us that we're to stand on truth, we're to stand on Your word. Father, You look from heaven and You bless that life. You look from heaven and bless that home. You look from heaven and You bless that church. You look from heaven and You bless that community. Because You said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, You remind us that we're to stand as You stand. Father, I pray for that person who's here this morning. Maybe they're not saved. They've never been born again. I pray for them. I lift them to You. And Father, I pray for that person who needs to rededicate his or her life. I pray for that person who just don't have a concern about Your agenda anymore. They'll come and sit and go home, but they don't really care about doing anything else. I pray for them where there's little concern to be faithfully devoted to Your church. Pray for that person who's under the sound of our voice that if they left this world right now, they would walk right into torment, walk right into hell. They've heard the truth. They can be saved. But if they enter into torment, it'll be their decision. Father, have Your will and Your way is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.